I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back for this segment. I'm here today with Pastor Maurice Cornwell and Minister Larry Watkins.
Amen.
We're back. We're continuing our conversation. We talk about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about prayer in the church, prayer in the lives of men, prayer in fathers' lives, in husbands' lives, as men in the church, as our role as male, as the masculine men and leaders in the body of Christ. We need a prayer life. We need to be persistent in our prayer life.
Yes.
Have a variety of prayer, continually praying in the Spirit. We talked about all of these in the sessions, but this session, we're going to talk a little bit about being persistent and being an intercessory prayer.
Okay.
You know, because like we talked about before, about it's always not about us.
Right.
Wow.
It's not about our family.
Yes. Yes.
It's about the whole world. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the unsaved. And through prayer of intercession, this is the way we can be able to reach. We have to, you know, we take God again. God is with us. Our godly character, where we go, we bring chaos, we bring order to the chaos that we find ourselves in.
That's right.
And in this world, it's chaos all around.
Again.
We got everything going on. We got same-sex marriages. We got dogs and cats living together.
Oh, my goodness.
You're right.
We got, there's so much going on. But us as being men of God and being having character, a Christian character, the character of God, we bring order to this chaos.
Yes.
You know, everybody got to agree with us.
Right.
Everybody got to do.
That's right.
But we have to be, we're setting, this is what God says.
That's exactly. Right.
You can do how you want. You can live how you want. Mm-hmm. But don't tell me, don't equate your sin to the righteousness of God.
Good one.
Yes.
Simple as that. I'm not hating you because the stuff you're doing ain't new.
Right.
We've seen it all. God's seen it all.
There's no
because God, if I remember correctly, the stuff they're doing that's going on now, God flipped the world for that.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Right. It was happening. Your internet and everything. Mm-hmm. So they were doing it, but it ain't nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
This sin and the attack of the enemy in this culture and what's going on, it's not nothing new. But we need to be the men of God.
That's
your church needs to have men who will stand and say, you know, what you're doing, it ain't what God says.
Right.
And God knows best.
Right.
But I'm not going to chastise you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to be, you know, like we had, who was the brothers in England, the Crusades.
Oh, right.
I'm not going to the Crusades.
Exactly.
If you don't want to follow God, now I'm going to hunt you down. No.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something in love, and then I'm going to live a life that's going to be an example to tell you why what you're doing ain't right. Because in the end, God's got it.
No doubt.
Because our faith says God, He's coming as a judge.
Exactly.
Christ is coming. That's how he comes. Y'all got the Christ you want. Y'all got the loving, the kind, the man who laid hands on people.
Mm-hmm.
The man. But when he comes back again, I'm going to be in that army.
Hello.
And he's not coming. He's coming to judge.
That's right.
He came nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what he done to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See what he done to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Exactly. So as men, also, we understand. We're a type of Christ that everybody ain't going our way.
Right. Hello.
Because how long did it take him? It took him a week.
No doubt.
From Hosanna to
kill him.
Crucify him.
Yeah.
We have no king but. No, I'm sorry. That's the movie. But again, that same crowd.
Right.
You know, they loved him when he came in, but they were the same folk when it was come time to choose.
Right.
They said, oh no, it's crucify him.
Exactly right.
Because the brother he fed, I think the scripture says he fed 5,000 one time and he fed 4,000 another time.
Mm-hmm.
Where them folk was when they was dragging them, beating them.
Right, exactly.
At least 5,000 of them, they could at least got him out of choose them. They could have stolen him away or something, but they was
hanging. There's another barbecue then.
Somebody else was feeding.
That's right.
Caesar put together something. Mm-hmm. It was literally lettuce and fish and bread.
Good Lord have mercy.
So I'm just saying. But amen. But anyway, we're gonna touch on it right now. We're gonna start with the scripture, and then we're gonna jump right into the conversation.
Amen.
Oh, this one. We're reading from Luke chapter number 22, starting at verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother."
My Lord.
Amen.
But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death."
Mm-hmm.
Father, we know, oh God. We know, God, we pray that God, Christ prays this prayer for us, so that we, God, once we return to him, once we get our mind right, that we will strengthen our brother, God.
Yes.
Give us the wisdom, God, give us the grace, give us the mercy, give us the patience and the compassion, God, that we might strengthen our brothers, God, those in the body, those out the body, oh God, that we may be a light and example, God, that you might be glorified, and that someone will see Christ in us, oh God. Work on us, God, make us better men, make us better husbands and better fathers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Pastor, let me start with you. Let's talk about being persistent in our prayer lives. Our prayer life ain't 15 minutes a day. Our prayer life is, what is our prayer life? When we say persistent prayer life, what are we saying there?
Okay, Brother Deacon, I believe that being persistent is having integrity. Something that's integral, something that has integrity is, for example, like this chair. I always tell my son all the time, over and over again, when he does something, if you can do this, it's solid, it has solidity, you know it's there. When you go to sit down inside of a chair, you consistently know that it's there. You get to the point where you don't have to stop and feel.
That's right.
You know that the chair is there. When you see a chair, you don't even begin. Now, big guys like us, we have to be careful in any chair we just sit down in.
Yeah, because some chairs are flimsy. They're not even made right.
Right.
It's devil.
But sad part about it is that some of us are flimsy just like that in our prayer life.
Amen.
And God has to check us, and other men have to check us, because they have to check and see how consistent we are. But when you have integrity, spiritual integrity, your prayer life and your consistency in your prayer life end up being to the point where people know you're solid.
Yes.
They know you're dependable. You're always there. They don't have to feel around and see if you're there before this. They just sit down and trust that what you're doing. It should be that way not only with other, with your wife, with your children, with your mother, with your father, your brothers, cousins, whomever. It should be like that with other men.
Amen.
Other men should be able to. This brother has integrity. One thing I know is that he's his own man. And I love men who are men's men.
Hmm. And let me say this too, it's just not brothers in the church.
No,
that's right. It's to the culture. This is why we need prayer, because we have to be able to show the light of Christ to the culture.
Good
in
one.
Our workplace, in the grocery store, in our dealings. They're not just our dealings with folk.
No doubt about it.
Because even when we out and we don't know nobody's listening, you know, how we carry it, how our conversation is.
My Lord.
You know, you could be, you know, the deacon, the leader, minister of music, but you in the grocery store and you cussing or you're doing something.
Help us, Jesus.
But, you know, we're just not, our attitude, our heart, how people see us. Well, they see us and say, well, that's a godly, righteous man. Just by what he's doing. Does he cook out? Does he get up? Especially when stuff don't go our way. Because I'm a victim. I'm guilty. When stuff don't go my way, it rises up in me.
Understood.
But then, hopefully, that the Holy Ghost is in me that can suppress it back down.
Hello.
Because it's going to rise up in me. Because we all know.
Yeah.
We go into these stores. I'm not going to name no names. Mm-hmm. But we go into these stores and buy stuff, any superstores. Folk in there can get to you, but you have to not let it get to you.
Right.
When you come out of the God, the person that you want, that God wants you to be, and that you know you're striving to be.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be able to have that continual. That's what we talk about, persistent.
I like that.
Persistence, because you can't wait until the attack comes.
Hello.
I just say it's an old thing. I'm going to go with the old street thing.
Go for it.
I can't go get my gun out the trunk when something goes off.
Right.
If my gun's in the trunk, then I'm not ready.
Exactly.
So I have to humble myself because my pistol's in the car.
You said it again.
Now, if my pistol's on my hip, then we can deal. So I'm sorry. But anyway, that's how prayer is.
Exactly.
That's how relationship is.
Exactly. Yeah.
God should be on my hip.
All the time.
Right. We can't go get him and come make a deal.
Yeah.
We got to be ready. At all times. I mean, that's what we need.
My daddy used to tell me, he said, the time to learn how to fight is not in the middle of a fight.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. He said, you have to learn how to fight beforehand so that when you stand up to fight, you're already prepared.
That's right.
As men, we have to remember that we have to stay plugged into the source.
Yes.
Because we have so many people that are trying to pull from us.
Right.
Yes.
And if we run out of power,
come on.
Amen.
Then our families run out of power.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And our other relationships run out of power. So we have to constantly stay connected to that source.
That's right.
Praying is me staying connected to that source. It's me saying, constantly talking to God throughout my day. And it doesn't mean that I have to bend my knee every time. It doesn't mean that I have to close my eyes and I have to work up on thee, thou, and this, therefore, and know that when, you know, this life shall end and we must die and can't live, right. And my tongue cleave to the roof of my... No, it's not working up
on
my arm. Okay?
Yes, sir.
It's not working up on all that.
That's right.
It's just saying, you know, okay, God, I got to go out here and deal with these people. Give me some wisdom to deal with them and help me to keep from cussing them out. You know,
it's
take the cuss out of me.
Yeah,
take the words and the sin out of me.
It's that type of thing. You know, you get cut off in driving.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus, help me not to flip out on this man who just cut me off.
You're right.
You know,
that's right.
Or let me not speed up and try and block him from doing this. You know, it's
Lord,
tapping into God in those instances.
Right.
And that's when you talk about being persistent in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It means that I'm constantly in communion with God to the point where I don't have to work up on a prayer. It's already there.
That's right.
That's right.
That's what we say about being ready.
Yeah.
Being ready, because you know it's coming. So we have to prepare ourselves. I know we use this trip, but I like the one about fighting. You can't learn how to fight when it's time to fight. So we can't.
Too late.
We can't, right, because if we don't have a consistent, this is what I'm talking about, persistent prayer life already.
Yeah.
But prayer life when, you know, I roll out of bed, I'm cool because I'm in my house. Hopefully I'm in my home.
Right.
And everything's at peace. I can fill up on God there.
Yeah.
To be able to go out and deal with the circumstances coming. Because our daily walk, our daily life, circumstances are going to come.
Mm-hmm. But he must be centered. The thing is making the center of our life.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's difficult. We say it all the time. We sing songs, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Yeah.
All that. But
yes.
And again, this is me talking to men. And maybe women listen to the show, but we're gearing this toward men.
That's right.
And men, we, you know, we need to learn. And I'm going to say something that's rather bold. Too many times we feel that... I'm just going to say it. It may offend some of you brothers, but so be it. You know, I don't joke around and say my wife is my boss. I don't joke around and act like that. I don't joke around and pretend like that. I don't even play. In her presence, I don't play like that. Because my son needs to understand what it means to be a king.
Exactly.
Being a king in a game of chess, the queen jumps around all over the place. She's, if you ask anybody, most people you ask what's the most powerful piece in chess, they'll say the queen.
Mm-hmm.
That's wrong. The reason why that queen can do all that jumping because the king's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You shut the king down, the queen shut down automatically. Being a king.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you.
That's chess. That's the rules.
Yes. It's the same thing in our homes.
Amen.
But you learn that from the time you're a boy. If you don't have an example of a man, you know, and I told my wife, I told my mother that my mom said, I've been both mother and father to you. And I remember being about 13 years old and said to my mom, Mom, you're the greatest mom on the face of the planet, but you are not both mother and father. You've been a great mom, but I didn't have a father.
Right.
So I had to turn. I had to come to my other brothers who had dads, and I started learning from your dad.
Uh-huh.
You see, I'm gonna learn how to shave by watching my friend's dad teach him how to shave.
Right.
You know, what I'm trying to say is, being the center, as making God the center of my life, it shows my son what it means to have God center his life before he's married. So by the time he does begin to date and get married, he don't have to learn how to be a husband then. He don't learn how to be a father then.
Mm,
you know, you know who teach me how to be a father? My son, my daughter. My father didn't teach me how to be a father. My father showed me how to be a son. Because I could not be a father to my son the way my father was a father to me.
Oh,
my son and my daughter teach me how to be a father to them, to meet their needs. I learn how to be their father, because I'm centered on the Holy Ghost, he teaches me how to meet the needs of my sons and my daughters, and then they teach me how to be a father.
Right.
That's that. You know, that was some wisdom, my dear brother.
Yes, it was.
I like that.
Yes.
Thank you.
I like that. That's why I like you coming to my show. Amen. But he's right. You know, as men... You know, every man comes from a different background, but, you know, through Christ and through our prayer and our wanting to do better and be better, God can help us.
That's right.
Because God is, it's all in the book, it's all in Scripture, and it's all within your prayer life. Because Scripture, if you pray Scripture, God will reveal these things to you.
Oh, yes.
If you didn't have a father, like you said, a father, a role model. Because, let me say, it's you're right. If men would be honest with themselves, especially our first generation Christian men, you don't want to be the father like your father was.
That's
you might have been, because first of all, You know, I don't condemn them.
Right.
But they did the best they could with what they had.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But you, as a man of God, if you're in a church, you have opportunity to do better. To set a better, like a godly legacy.
Hello.
Because remember, God called Abraham.
That's right.
Not Abraham's fault.
Exactly.
That's right.
And it started with him.
That's right.
But even though he had a jacked up son and a jacked up grandson, but still, it started with him.
Yes.
Until we got right.
That's right.
Until we got to Joseph.
That's right.
Until we got to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Until we got to, David, David has some issues too.
That's right.
But that's in the bloodline, and that's who we are. We have to look at ourselves, especially if you're first generation, you came to the church, you were saved, somebody gave you the gospel, and you're in church now, and your parents didn't go, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You look at yourself as that Abraham.
Yes.
And Abraham prayed.
Excellent point.
Abraham heard from God.
Well, even looking at us as Abrahams, we also have to look at us as that Isaac and that Jacob as well.
Exactly.
Because we understand that there are legacies and curses that run through families.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just like Abraham lied, Isaac lied, and Jacob lied behind Isaac.
That's
okay?
Right.
So we now have to pray to break those lines of curses in our family.
Good one.
Okay.
Good one,
so
good one.
Not only do we have to pray to be the Abraham in our family, we also have to pray to break that line of curse.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we have to be trailblazers as well as pathfinders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We
have to go anyway. Yes,
sir.
We got to
blaze that trail, you know. But we also have to be wise enough to follow the path that was set for us.
Good Lord.
You know,
yes.
So in praying, it helps us to understand when to deviate and when to follow. It helps us to understand that when to lead and when to follow, when to talk and when to shut up. Because we're now listening to God, and God puts that little check in your spirit. Don't you open your mouth.
That's right. Sometimes you just got to stand there and take it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to stand, take it, and wait. And then God will reveal. He'll reveal you to either. He'll release you to get out of there.
Yes.
Before your flesh rises.
Uh-huh.
Or he's going to release you to say something at the right time. Is this the way we call that? That fight or flight?
Yes.
But God has a fight or flight. He's going to tell you when you need to say something.
Uh-huh.
He's going to tell you, don't say nothing, and this is your escape.
You know, athletes work out many, many years, and they do things in repetitive motion.
Mm-hmm.
They do it to build up muscle memory.
Yes.
A running back will make sure he takes that ball, and when he gets to the ball, tucks it away.
Yes.
And he'll do that motion at least 1,000 times or 3,000 times within his career to build up muscle mass. Why? So that when he gets on the big stage,
yes, sir.
Okay, and the lights are shining, and someone hands him the ball, and he gets hit immediately as he hands them the ball, that muscle memory takes over. He tucks the ball and doesn't fumble.
That's right.
We have to pray constantly to build up our muscle memory.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So that when we get stand up and we're in the middle of the limelight,
yes,
and we get slapped by the devil,
yes, yes sir,
that we don't react fleshly,
yes,
right,
we don't react worldly, but we act spiritually, because now we're in a bigger situation, and there are people looking at us.
I agree.
Amen.
And God is saying, I put you through all of this,
yes, sir,
so that when you got on this stage and you reacted, they could see the God in you,
yes,
and I get the glory.
Amen.
The Bible says, let our good works shine so that he may get the glory.
That's right.
And in doing that, when we pray, when we're in constant communion with him,
yes,
when we're listening to the unction of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
then we are, God puts us in those situations. We build up that muscle memory.
Yes.
And when it's time to react, we can react. A friend of mine had his wife was having a baby. She went through many troubles through the labor. And as she was going in, the baby was in distress. The only thing he could utter was, God, do some God stuff.
Hello.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it was a prayer.
That's right. It was a prayer. And our persistency, again, our persistency, like you said, we have to be, like you said, with the thing, we have to be in a position where this stuff comes. And it's habit.
Yes.
It's who we are.
It's habit.
We are men of God.
Yes.
We are
like
men. We're all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We are what God says we are. And this is how we're going to respond to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Stuff that doesn't, it's not that it takes us by surprise, it's how we react to it.
Because
I could be surprised. I mean, somebody could come and, you know, you could, the example, you know, if somebody drops something on the floor, what do you automatically do? You know, what's your response?
Right,
you
that's right.
You turn and jerk, or, you know, I heard dishes crash before.
Hello.
So I'm not moved by it. It's a dish. Unless I see something totally different, it's dishes that fell on the floor.
That's right. Right.
Let alone pay for them. I'm like,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Right, right.
It's a dish broke. I'm not going to, you know, it's a response. It's a train. It's a trained, it's a habit.
There you go.
Like and that habit is what we need to get to when we in persistent prayer.
Yeah.
Now, let's touch on something, man. We talked about that, but now we want to talk about something that's not about us. It's about intercessory.
Mm.
Let's talk about intercessory prayer in a man.
Wow.
Where should we be praying? We go to again. And mm-hmm. when we get again, this is another thing. Our flesh is our selfishness.
Yes.
Good
stop thinking about, okay, my situation, my circumstance, fine. But how long and how many days am I going to pray about my stuff? And I'm not going to look around me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pray about the loss. I'm not going to pray about my family. I'm not going to pray about the circumstances that's going to happen in my family. I'm not praying for my children and their futures. You know? So, intercessory. Let's talk about a man being an intercessory prayer. Not the intercessory we all know.
Right.
In the church.
Right.
I'm going to say this as nice as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but if I'm going to, it's also honest.
Yes.
We talk about intercessory prayer in the church. The first thing is we talk about women.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the evangelist, mm-hmm. the missionary,
mm-hmm.
the intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
The intercessor
mm-hmm.
is it. Somehow mm-hmm. the intercessor is becoming a feminine term in the church.
Exactly.
If we honestly, you know, look at it. Intercessory somehow it becomes a feminine word. I don't know what the feminine of intercessory is, but however.
Right.
But as men of God, let me encourage you. Because for my brothers who are in churches and in congregations,
mm-hmm.
think about it mm-hmm. and you see where it is.
Mm-hmm.
That when talking about intercessory, it's automatically we're talking about the women coming together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we don't see about, you know, let's have a men's prayer service.
Right.
And see what you get. Mm-hmm. I challenge any pastor out there.
You're right.
Call a men's prayer service and see what you get.
You're right.
Okay. We've got technology now.
Right.
The prayer line.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers on the prayer line?
You're right.
I want you to call the prayer line and speak up. I don't want you to call the prayer line and say, I was on there.
Right.
But let's speak up. Let's take a head count. All the brothers on the prayer line say aye, and then we'll move forward from there. I'm just saying.
I remember once, Brother Deacon, I was young in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling my pastor and his wife that I wanted to move as an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The particular church we were in, all the women were evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I believe God had called me to move as an evangelist for that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like I was crazy. Men aren't evangelists.
Yes.
And they really said this to me. Men
yes,
are evangelists. Men mm-hmm. are the preachers. Women are evangelists. And I said, but wait a minute. I believe for right now, God called me to be an evangelist for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they really came up against me and told me men are not evangelists. So I went back and showed them in the scripture. And this is where, of course, I begin to butt heads with some folks. But I went back and showed them in the scripture. Every single evangelist in the scripture were men. There were not one single evangelist of the woman in the scriptures. I said, now here's my challenge to you. If you're saying you ostracize men from being evangelists, I'm telling you, according to the word, I'm ostracizing women from being evangelists because there are not one single solitary item that allows a woman to be an evangelist in the scriptures. Show me one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that was my stance. I wasn't coming to that stance, but because you told me a man can't
be,
let me show you the opposite according to the word. And of course they try to rebuff me, but I said, go back to the word. In the word, there's not one single solitary woman that's an evangelist. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me ask you a question. How can you tell me a man can't be? Well, that's just what we believe. I said, enough said. I left the church. I went somewhere else.
Well, that's because we take, as you know, bro, mm-hmm. let me get for my young Christians and mm-hmm. my non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the church puts titles on things.
Exactly.
They pull stuff out of scripture and then they stick titles to it.
Right.
To give people, to again, put people in a box. That's what I call it.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't brought up in the church, so I'm looking at this stuff on the outside.
Mm.
And like you said, if you're reading scriptures for yourself, the way titles and stuff are dealt out, we got to get past that.
You're right.
And God, all we're going to get past that is by studying the word for ourselves.
That's
and
right.
And through prayer.
Exactly. Through prayer.
Because God, the Bible tells us how we each should live.
That's right.
We alone are called to be evangelists.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not a title. It's not a pin.
That's
it's
exactly
not a t-shirt.
Right. My Lord.
We're called, once we come to the knowledge, wait a minute, what did I just read? Well, once you, what is that? When you return to me, strengthen your brother.
Right.
That's evangelism.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Once I come to Christ and understand who he is,
that's
I'm
right.
coming to my brother and strengthen him and tell him the gospel, the good news. Andrew, Was it Andrew? Yes, it was Andrew. Told Peter. And look what Peter turned into.
Right. That's right.
Andrew was, I say, Andrew was the brother, between the two brothers in the family.
That's
Andrew
right.
was the church going.
That's
he
right.
walked around following John. Peter's out here fishing, working
That's
for
them. That's right. Amen.
And he went, after he heard, he went and told Peter and brought Peter, and then look what God did with Peter.
That's right.
What we call, that's, so was Andrew evangelist?
Help us, God. That's right.
I'm just saying.
We have to understand that when you get saved doesn't mean that you lose your stereotypes.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. There are stereotypes in the church just like there's stereotypes in the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And one of the stereotypes is that intercessory prayer is a women's group.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You're now, right. If we look at the origins of intercessory prayer, we have to go back and look at the priests.
That's right.
The priests were the first intercessors because the priests were the ones who were called to stand in between the gap between the people and God.
Come on.
That's right.
Okay. Come on.
And their job was to offer the sacrifice on behalf of the people to get forgiveness from God for their sins.
That's right.
So the concept of an intercessor was the first priest.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
As men, we are natural intercessors.
That's right.
Okay, because
we should be.
We should be natural intercessors.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because if we are the leaders of a household, then we are the priest of that household.
Come on, brother.
Then we should be able to stand in the gap between our families and God to intercede for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, intercessory prayer just means that I am now standing in the gap for my brother. I'm now standing in the gap for my sister because they are in a situation where they need someone to stand in and battle the holy host of hell for them.
That's right.
Now, prayer intercessory means that I am now standing in the gap. I am going to battle in prayer for them to help them with their situation.
Yes.
That's the definition of intercessory prayer.
Thank you, sir.
It's not just women to get together to pray for an hour.
Okay.
It's to go to battle for your brother. It's to go to battle for your sister. It's to go to battle for your family in prayer to deal with a situation that somebody else is having trouble dealing with.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I agree totally. And just as again, like you said, as husbands and fathers, this should be something in our prayer. This should be a foundation. This should be a pillar of our prayer life.
That's right.
In our prayer time, it should be a dedicated time for intercessory, because we're looking around, we have people in our circle of influence. If they're truly in our circle, we're in true koinonia with them. We need to be praying for their circumstance, their situation, and their struggles.
Let's back up there. We need to make sure that we have a prayer time.
Okay.
Okay, because not everybody has a prayer time.
Right.
You're right.
Right. No, I agree.
But why they don't? Just ask yourself, brothers, you're looking at us on TV.
Because it's not, men, let's just put it out there. We do not see in church too many of our forefathers praying. I'm going to tell you honestly, and you can check off on me, help me this, brother preacher. I personally knew growing up, I've been preaching for over 30 some odd years, there's ministers I do not see open their Bible till they're about ready to preach.
Yeah.
They don't open their beacons, don't open their Bible till they're ready to preach. And if you don't spend time praying till they're about to come before the people, but you don't see, let's get together, we talk, we get together, we eat. We get together, we talk. But see, the Bible says in James chapter 5, if there's any among you afflicted, let him pray.
Yes.
Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call upon the elders of the church. And what happened? They laid hands on them and pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall have saved the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed a sin, they shall be forgiven. But prayer is something that we've emasculated it. We've emasculated prayer to the point where it seems like it's that, here we go again. We don't need to talk about all that. Let's just do other stuff. Well, no, prayer should become the center focal point of our lives as men. And because we aren't doing that, we don't get a chance to reap the rewards because there's no seeds being planted. And if you plant, whatever seeds you plant, that's what's going to come up. And if you're not planting seeds of prayer into the Holy Spirit, into the Spirit of the living God, into the fertile ground, it's not going to bloom up with anything in the end that's going to reap the fruit that your friends, your families, your enemies, your frenemies, can come up to and pull some fruit off and eat and they'll grow.
Amen.
When we look at the example of Jesus, which is the example that we all need to follow, mm-hmm. we have to realize that Jesus took out many times to go and pray.
Yes. Excellent point, brother.
The scripture in Mark 6:46 says that he went to the mountain to
That's
pray.
That's right.
There are many times where Jesus got away from everybody else to pray because he knew what he had to deal with.
Mm.
There are times that, brothers, we need to get away to pray.
Amen.
Because of everything that we have to deal with in our lives.
Yes.
But we need to get away to pray because we have our children who are dealing with issues at school that we never had to deal with before.
Exactly.
We need to get away to pray because there are so many sexual perverts outside.
Yes.
There are so many predators out in the world. There's so many things that come against our families that we need to be able to get away and
mm-hmm.
pray.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about the man that brought his son to the disciples.
Yes.
And he mm-hmm. was afflicted with demons that would throw him into the fire
yes.
and into the water.
Yes.
And he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't heal him.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't deliver him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came down from his prayer time
mm-hmm.
to find the situation. And Jesus immediately cast the demon out of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the disciples, sometimes these things only come out by fasting and prayer.
Amen.
It means that you got to have that time where you have to steal away
mm-hmm.
to pray. And if you don't have a prayer life, we need to develop one as quick as possible.
Amen.
Because otherwise, you are getting your butt whipped on a daily basis.
Amen. So let's talk, I'm glad you said that. Let's talk about developing a prayer life. There's this step, there's application to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's spiritual, but there's also
mm-hmm.
application.
Good one.
One of the things we need to do, a prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
Yes.
A pen and a piece of paper.
That's right.
And write it down. Write down, break
a journal.
A journal.
Mm-hmm.
You can journal it,
yes.
or you can write a list. I need to pray for this brother, this brother, this mm-hmm. brother, this brother, this brother. Five brothers. I need to pray for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know who my wife is.
Uh-huh.
I know who she is. I know who I wanted to be. I need to pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
My kids. You know your kids. You know what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to God.
Mm-hmm.
This is easy. This is just application. And this is stuff that all you're doing is you're taking off of what's in front of you.
That's right.
You're not looking for the deep spiritual understanding of the like you was talking before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's God placed in your life?
That's
your
right.
Your wife, your kids.
That's right.
You're praying for your church family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're part of a local
mm-hmm.
congregation.
Mm-hmm.
If, again, I use my youth. This is my most favorite word when it comes to church. It's
good.
Koinonia.
Yes.
I can't go to church every
That's
week
right.
with folk. I know nothing about them. Nothing. I'm not really
That's
part of the body.
One. That's mm-hmm. good.
I am not. You are not
mm.
part of the body. You keep going every week. I mean, you know, some churches are mega, you're fine. But there should be some people
right.
within the larger body.
I agree. Right.
I mean, I understand, but again, what did Jesus do with the 5,000 when he fed them?
Wow.
He told the disciples, break them down in groups.
Yes. Yes.
Break mm-hmm. them down, I think it was groups of, 20? I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
I can't think
mm-hmm.
of it. But he took the 5,000 and broke them to something we could manage.
That's right.
Because we know. So within your body, within your church congregation, there should be a group of folk that you are, you have that behind, you have that the superficial. That's what I'm saying.
Good word.
We're going past the superficial of church.
Yes, yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Within the body. You may not know everybody.
Right.
But there should be a group of them, and you're praying for them.
Right.
And hopefully they're praying for you. But again, that comes with building the koinonia, building that relationship. Because, church is different sizes,
Right.
But you should have an end to each of the families in there.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. what I'm saying, and you're praying, and this is what we're talking about in the service, but to structure it, you write it down. You
exactly
get a,
right.
pen, a piece of paper,
That's
and
right.
you write the names of these folk down, and then as you pray, you read it. That's all.
That's right.
It's not that hard. You don't have to memorize it. I know some people have great memory. Fine, I ain't got one.
I hear you.
I'm old school. I need a paper and a piece of pencil.
Mm-hmm.
I even got a thingy patty like you got.
Mm-hmm.
I have a notebook. And I write down and we pray and I call their names out.
That's good.
And even the people there's stuff that that you don't know about that
mm-hmm,
they may be struggling
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know God knows. You say, God, in their circumstance and situation,
wow.
touch it.
That's right.
Do something. Move your, let's show yourself mighty in their thing. But I'm doing it because I'm in koinonia with them.
Exactly.
So that's a simple thing. Pastor, give me something else that's practical. that we can take away from this, that how you build up our prayer life and mature in it.
Exactly. I'm going to spin off what you said first. When you talk about writing it down, I call that a journal.
Yes.
Journal. Because what ends up happening is, you know, men are visual.
Okay.
Generally speaking, again, brothers, men are visual. Mostly everything that we do in our life, we do because it's visual, stimulating. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, we see a woman looks good, boom. You know, she has something that we like, a car we like, something that we like. Right. We are visual. So it's the same thing with our prayer life. Use what God has given you. Reason why you write down what you want, you know, the Bible says, write it upon the pillars of your heart, write it upon and keep it before your eyes always. When you write down and say, I'm praying for Brother Larry, and he said he wants to do something in business. I'm going to write that down. Okay. Brother Deacon, he wants to be able to achieve something with the networks. I'm going to write that down. And so I'm writing these things down, and I put that petition before the Lord. I need to write a date down. And then when you pray with expectations. Pray expecting the Holy Ghost to hear you and for God to move. What ends up happening is when Larry comes back and Brother Larry comes back and say, man, it came through. Praise God, it happened. Yeah. You as a man can visualize that now and say, wow, that came through. Write the date down that it came through. Yeah. And they start looking for that. Wow. And here's another thing. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody. Brag about the Lord. I brag about the Lord all the time. Yeah. And I always brag about him. I don't brag about Maurice Russell Cornwell. I'm in positions now because God opens the door.
Right. That's right. Amen.
When you talk about journaling, you know, many times in psychology, there are things called expressive therapy. And one of the things that journaling does, or writing down your prayers, which is another way of praying, is to get that expressive therapy. You know, when I was younger, and even growing up, I had a problem with my anger. You know, I used to call letting the monster out, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to let the monster out.
Right.
So when I got angry, I had to go and express that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that by talking to God through my prayers or talking to God through my journaling allowed me to express that anger without it bubbling up to the surface, you know, or allow me to get it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now praying. I'm writing it.
I love it.
But I'm praying. Different type of praying, okay? I'm writing it, but I'm writing it as a prayer. Dear God, this is what I feel right now. This is how I'm, da da da. And I'm writing this out.
Yes.
And I'm expressing it to God. Many times, men have a problem verbalizing things.
You can say that again.
Amen.
And sometimes, the best way to do it is to write it out.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
No doubt about it.
And I love journaling because this is bad. When I was first coming to church, and that's something, that was a tool that was given to me and my wife in a marriage thing.
Okay.
That we should, as a couple, have a marriage journal. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes, even this is how we deal with issues, because we know tones of voices, attitudes, body language can set a conversation off.
Oh, yeah.
But
don't you look at me in that tone of voice.
That's right.
Exactly.
I can take it in and write down the same thing,
right,
give it to my wife and say, that's my problem.
Right.
Now, she's going to read that, and she's not going to see nothing in my mouth. She's not going to hear the anger, my tone, my the change in my voice,
exactly.
All that won't affect that this is the issue we need to deal with.
Right.
Wow.
Read this, honey. And I mean, it's again, these are tools we need as men in our toolbox. Writing stuff down. Write it down.
Right.
And that thing with the prayer, the prayer journal does, it keeps a record of God.
Exactly.
Because again, this is for our children's children. I wrote this down, and then God came through.
That is excellent.
I'm like,
that is excellent.
Really?
Yes.
That's good.
That is good.
That's
good.
That's good.
You guys.
Man.
I'm so proud of myself.
Because if you want to take that even a step further, if you look at the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is simply David's journal.
Yes.
Amen.
Because it's David writing down the things that he was feeling and dealing with at the time.
Amen.
And some of them are prayers.
Wow.
That's right. They turned into worship and prayers to God.
Exactly.
Because he was dealing. Remember, how many years he spent acting with them sheep?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
being,
right.
Being the least of
that's
his brothers.
Right. Uh-huh. Wow.
He was sitting out there in the wilderness and he knew God. And
when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up.
Hallelujah.
This is when he expresses, you know, his therapy. This is his therapy, you know.
Thank you.
You know, it wasn't my friends that betrayed me.
That was better than my thing.
No, I'm going to tell you, it's my spinoff.
That's good. That's good.
It wasn't my friends that betrayed me. Mm-hmm.
It was you.
Now I want to have wings like a dove and fly away. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things are David, was David expressing.
That's right.
His the things that he couldn't say.
That's right.
Amen.
And leaving, I love also, a wise man is one who leaves, what, an inheritance, not just for himself, but for his children's children.
Uh-huh.
And
deep,
man, that was, that thing hit me in my heart when you said that, because men need to realize this. We're leaving a legacy.
Yes, sir.
A legacy. Are. See, hallelujah, Dick. I'm trying to, that was good.
Amen.
When you're talking about leaving something for your children, it's nothing more powerful than to have your grandson and your great-grandson stand up and profess without even have seen you do all of that. Oh, I know one thing.
Amen.
My grandfather was a praying man.
Mm-hmm.
Or my great-grandfather was a praying man. To have, let me tell you about my great-great, listen, but that's missing now. We don't have that anymore. You know, like back, my grandfather, we don't have that anymore.
Really?
We don't have children testifying about their grandfather.
Mm-mm.
Men. Because these young men, all they see is pacified, jelly back, milk toast, soft men in church, or they see the hardcore men outside of church. I believe when you come to church, you keep your same flavor. God will work on all that.
Stay masculine.
Yes, please stay masculine. And that doesn't mean you come to church and leave your testicular fortitude at the door. You bring that with you. Let me have the.
Because God wants
to stand
us.
Up.
God designed men for a role and a purpose.
That's
masculinity
right.
is God created thing.
That's right.
And then we know this is how, again, this is our issue as Christian men's talk with birth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the matriarchal stuff I've seen in the church. Mm-hmm. And some of that is changed. I've known brothers who left church because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is where, just to get it out, that you can come and the masculinity is needed and is there. And God has designed us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And designed us for roles. There's roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's responsibilities, and all we have to do is live up to them. And the only way we're going to find that,
mm-hmm.
you may not be getting toward it, but if you go to Scripture, you will see it.
That's right.
If you go to Scripture and study for yourself, you see what a godly man looks like.
That's
you
right.
You see biblical manhood.
Exactly.
And then you work that thing out.
It only takes about 3 years for a man to get mature. I believe that just like the disciples, just like Timothy, just like other men in the Bible,
amen.
If a young man, older man comes to
committed
the Lord,
to,
committed to the Lord,
yes.
from day one, never knew anything about the Bible, walks in off the street and said, I'm serious, I want to get serious, gives his life to the Lord and gets serious, reads his Bible, pray and spend time up on the tutelage of another man, we can learn how to be a man of God. In 3 years, that man should have matured enough to stand up and stand in front of the church as an elder if he's properly trained and equipped. But we don't tell men that. Oh, it takes time. It takes 10, 15, 30. You know why they say that? Because those of us who should have been trained at a younger age don't start preaching until we get our chance to in our 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
We want our opportunity. But we need to take these young men at a young age and prepare them for leadership. Tell them, don't wait till you get 29, 30, 40, 50, 60, just get started. Take them as soon as a man walks through the door, however his flavor is, accept him for who he is. Don't try to change him or make him or break him or sit him down. Just let the man come to church. First of all, that alone is an honor. Take that young man, an older man, and just start being to pray for him, show him how to read his Bible, teach him how to pray, teach him selflessness, and then what ends up happening is if that man is sincere, in 3 years you have someone who's been discipled. But if you try to smash him down, push him down, shut him up, tell him he's not this, you're not going to get that from him. I'm not intimidated by men. And if we are intimidated by men, we take a man.
Well, that's the problem right there. But then we have to understand what you said. I want to inject this, though. We were planning for leadership.
Yes.
We're not talking about in the church four walls. We're talking
about
in their homes.
That's right.
We're talking about in their lives.
That's right.
That's what you're preparing them for.
That's right.
We're not preparing them to put them in the pulpit.
That's right.
We're not preparing them to serve on the deacon board.
That's right.
We're preparing them to be a Christian man, to be a light in the culture and community where they are, and especially in their homes.
Beautiful.
If we prepare men to be the leaders in their homes.
That's right.
Pastors, look at the camera. Pastors, you'll be able to pastor more efficiently, and you'll see a greater increase because you're sending godly men into their homes
That's
to
right.
minister to those issues that you've got to fill your schedule up with every week. and you know who I'm talking to. You got to set a schedule to see this couple, this couple, this wife, talk to this single mother's child, talk to the single mother. If you had strong men who were in the church, that's where this stuff will get fixed. Again, I say, this is what the church is for. The church is not whatever it's been turned into.
Right.
If we would disciple men to be men of God and to be leaders in the homes, and to be able to have godly character when they're walking around.
That's right.
Church with what God's plan for the church would be accomplished.
You know, I'm excited about the time that we're coming up on as being the church, because we have to realize that we're entering into a generation of people that don't know anything about church.
Yes. Yes, that's a good thing.
We have a generation of young people that are coming up that don't know anything about church. Mm-hmm. And if we want to raise up truly godly people, you know, then we need to step out now and show them what church is about.
Right.
Not church, the building.
Yes.
But church.
The church, us.
The light.
The body of Christ. The bride. Yes. The bride of Christ.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We have to start showing the bride of Christ.
That's right.
The building is nice, you know, but it's going to pass away, but the word of God.
Exactly.
God. The word of God. If we get the word of God in people's hearts and in this, and get the Holy Spirit within them, the body will be okay. Buildings will come and go. Mortgages will be paid off. Whatever. But if we get the word, because the only reason we're here is because of the word.
That's right.
Because I have never seen, matter of fact, I've been to Jerusalem, but I wasn't saved then. But the God is here.
Exactly.
It's not going to be the building we built over here in West Baltimore, East Baltimore, Glen Burnie.
That's right. That's right.
That's not the world we're building.
That's right. That's right.
It's the church. It's the people. It's the lives. It's God in the people that's going to pass from generation to generation. Our sons and our sons' sons are going to look at, again, the legacy. The buildings are not legacy.
That's right.
The legacy is Christ.
You're right. Yeah.
It's the bloodline.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm excited because many years we've been, and I'm going to say this, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but we've been snatching members, you know.
From church to church to
from
church.
From church to right. church yeah. to church.
That's not growth.
That's not growth.
That's stealing.
That's,
right.
that's stealing.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
manipulation.
And that's not even evangelism.
That's okay. not
evangelism. No, it's nowhere close to
we need to, we're now entering upon the time that was true as the time
right.
when the disciples were around. Where there are people that don't know anything about Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Okay, and we can now become true evangelists.
That's right.
We can now go after the unchurched.
That's right.
The unsaved.
That's right.
The backslidden, the wayward souls. We can now bring them into the body of Christ and show them what real men are. And we need to be prayed up to do that, to show them what
that's
a man looks like as an IT technician, to show them what a man looks like in the medical field,
that's
to show them even what a man looks like that stands at the door of a club and be a bouncer. To show them what a man like that can look like as a man of God.
Understood.
That's right. That's right.
Understood.
That's right.
Understood.
We have to be what the, again, you're right, what the disciple were.
Yes.
You know, because I have conversation with folk who were raised in the church and everything as well. People know who Jesus is. I said, that's what's killing the church.
Exactly.
We think people know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that if anybody wanted to know, they need to come to our building.
That's right.
That is what's killing the church is itself. Because
about
we
that?
Think people need to come to where we are. Gentlemen, if we look at church history, all the disciples went out.
Exactly.
You're right.
They went out and were martyred for preaching what they believed.
That's exactly right.
They didn't wait for people to come to Jerusalem. To Peter, I mean, not Peter, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul made three trips out there amongst these folk.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote the book because every time he went back, they had new issues.
That's right. That's right.
I came and saw you, and I heard about you, and that's not what I preached when I was there.
Right.
And we have it as an example to look at that. This is what we need to do. We have the instruction. We have God's word.
Right.
And it's to go out there to those who have never heard.
Even Jesus got in trouble because he was always around people who were of bad reputation.
Yeah.
He was always with, you know, the drunks. He was always with the wine.
The cinnamon.
He was always with
the cinnamon.
He was at Zacchaeus' house.
Yeah,
he was with.
Yeah, I got
he
you.
Was at Zacchaeus' house. He was with the prostitute.
There
he was
there. Prostitute. That's
he was
right.
talking
there's
to the woman right. at the Samaritan woman at the well. He was talking to all these people who were quote unquote of bad reputation.
Yeah.
They was outside the church.
They were outside
the church.
But those are the people that he went to and ministered to.
Amen.
The woman that came and bowed at his feet and said, you know, woman, it's not my time yet to come to your people. But she said, Lord, even the dogs are the cause that's for your master's table.
Yes,
and he said, no, have I not seen great worship other than this? You know, we have to go after those that don't know nothing about Jesus and stealing other people's memories.
Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to real briefly go from verses 12 to probably around 20-something, it talks about how the man of God sat back and began to pray so that the Holy Ghost will release the Spirit of God, power of God within his environment.
Yes.
Not just the building.
Yes.
It's talking about the blessing of God within our own circumstances. How do we release the, and those changes in our circumstances change the church. A great man that I really respect, had a chance to talk to him in person a few times, Dr. Tony Evans, he shared this with me one time, and he said, one thing that we forget as men is this, we go out here trying to change the world, and every time we turn around, our church want to try to sponsor somebody to send to Africa, sponsor somebody to go out here to overseas, you want to sponsor somebody to go to all these places, and then they can talk about how great a job they did. That's easy. Mm-hmm. If you want to impress me, let me see you evangelize your neighborhood. Let me see you impress your next door neighbor. The one to see
go.
You walk into your
go.
Car rolling your eyes
there
every
you
day. The one to see you cussing your wife out, like you just said.
Arguing
all
through the walls.
Through the walls. We want to see you impress people. If you want to change history, say, and I love to change your home.
Amen.
If you can change your home, then you can change your neighborhood. If you can change your neighborhood, you can change. Then therefore, change your area. Your district. Your district can change your city. Your city can change your state. Your state will change. Everybody's changing your nation. Your nation changes the world.
Right.
But instead of trying to focus, it's like sand with your hand. You're trying to change the world and everything's changing. But if you can dare have each of us men go back to our own homes
and
change our homes,
Amen.
We in fact change the world.
That's right. We did it. We plan to see for the future, and we change the circumstances now.
Yes.
Amen, brothers. This has been Issues, Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank God. I thank God for these brothers. They come, that we participate, and these things come out. I mean, you hear this conversations, and these are the things that's in the heart of men.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in the church, who wasn't brought up in the church, and then we see what God is calling, what we need to do, and it starts with a man.
Wow.
Unless you search your heart and understand that it starts with a husband and father and everything else God created. He created Adam, and from Adam we have Eve, and Eve the offspring. It's the same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
That's
it starts with a man.
Yes.
And remember, a man starts at the time of his birth.
Yes.
Once he's born, he comes through the birth canal, and we see that he's masculine. That's the time that starts, his training.
That's right.
Because God destined him to be a leader in the home, in the community, and in the church.
Yes.
Wow, good one.
This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can contact me at rejoicetv@gmail.com, or you can call me at 443-591-3504. I'm a member of City Hope International Worship Center at 9033 Red Branch Road in Columbia, Maryland. Our service times are 9 a.m. on Sundays. You can give me a call. You can search us on the website. Our website is www.cohmaryland.org. You get the information there, or you can call me directly, and I can give you the service time and directions and anything else. Pastor, tell us about your ministry.
Yes, I'm the pastor of Uplift Through the Word Ministries. We're in Pasadena, Maryland. It's the Glen Burnie area. It's 107 Mountain Road, Suite W in Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. You can see our services are 10 a.m., our morning service, 7 p.m. for our Bible study on Tuesdays, and our Thursday morning prayer line is 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. If you're unable to reach us be in person for the Bible study, or you can join us at our conference call number. If you go to our website, which is upliftmd.org, you can see all our contact information and the prayer line, intercessory prayer number. You can use that number also for Bible study as well.
Amen. Minister Larry.
I am the associate pastor of a new ministry in Waldorf, Maryland, Spirit of Freedom Christian Ministries, where the pastor is Reverend Wendell Washington. We're located in Waldorf, Maryland. We just recently changed buildings, so we have a new address. And if you look at the credits, we'll have that address for you. We're now having services on the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays at 10 o'clock. If you find yourself in the Waldorf area, please come and visit us. We'd be glad to see you.
Amen. And again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. We hope to see you again next week. God bless you.